As we begin the Christmas season, I'd like to ask you this morning, if you're going to be able to observe Christmas this year, or if you are going to be one of many who are going to miss Christmas this year. You know, I used to have a reoccurring dream. I'm not really sure what it meant, but it always seemed so real. In this dream, I was the guest speaker at a church service. And when the service started, I was still in another room getting dressed. I don't understand why I had that happen over and over again, but you know, when we are late for something, when we miss something, it certainly doesn't feel good, does it? It doesn't feel good to miss out on something, especially something important. Yet how many people are so busy during the holidays that they actually miss Christmas? Not me, you say. I'm always there Christmas morning to open my presents. Well, you see, that's exactly what I'm talking about, and I'll explain in just a moment. When we look at the Christmas story in the Bible, we see that apart from Mary, Joseph, a few scared shepherds who were nudged by some angels, and a handful of distant astrologists who happened to notice a star with a hidden message, almost everyone missed the very first Christmas. Today, many of us miss Christmas habitually. I mean, the real meaning of Christmas. How? We get so caught up in the consumption and consumerism, the parties, and all that goes with getting ready for them, that we miss the real meaning of Christmas. Why is it that during the holidays, time and nerves seem to stretch so thin? Why do we become so lost in crowded malls, financial debt, and endless gifts to buy? The false doctrine of consumerism, consumer religion, insists again and again that money equals love. You know, in the book entitled Advent Conspiracy, Can Christmas Still Change the World? The following statement is made. Missing the prophetic mystery of Jesus' birth means missing God with us, God beside us, God becoming one of us. Missing out on Jesus changes everything. Excuse me. So if all that we just mentioned is true, what is one to do? What we need to do is maybe change our perspective a little bit. Maybe we need to just slow down and actually view Christmas from inside the stable. John 3:16 tells us that God so loved the world that he gave money? No, right. He didn't give money, he gave himself. Jesus was willing to leave his glorified position in heaven and come down to earth to be born in a lowly manger. He took on the form of a servant, not a king. You know, that blows my mind when I think about that. Obviously, we really do not have a correct idea of what heaven's going to be like because we just really can't imagine it in our human frailties. But we know how glorious it is and how Jesus is God and he was in heaven and he was willing to give all that up to take on the form of a servant and live a humble life. The question we need to ask ourselves this morning and maybe every morning is how do we give of ourselves? Do we hear of a need and take precious time from our busy schedules to do what we can do to help? Or do we just say, well, you know, I I'd like to help, but I'm just too busy. There's just too much to do. You know, last month, I came home from the office to find that most of the leaves had been raked in our yard and disposed of. What a blessing that was. With a hurt knee, I was concerned about how I would get that raking done. When I called to thank the couple who had done it, they simply replied, "Well, we couldn't have you doing it with your bad knee." Then on top of that, when I came home the next day, the rest of the leaves were also gone. Of course, not having to rake the leaves was a blessing, but an even greater blessing was how our hearts were touched because of this act of love. You know, another time when Marie was going through her chemo, a woman from our church called and asked if she could come over and help with the cleaning that Marie was not able to do. What an encouragement that was to Marie and to myself for that act of love at a time that we really needed it. You know, right now, we have two members of our church in a nursing home. How their faces brighten up when a familiar face walks in to spend even just a few minutes with them. Every time I visit Emily, she always asks me how you all are doing. And she lets me know that she prays for you regularly. And that's one of the things that I tried to encourage Emily about. She says, "You know, I'm 93, she said, "and I can't do anything at all. I'm good for nothing." And I said, "That's certainly not true." I said, "One thing that I am so grateful for is to have you as a prayer warrior, knowing that your prayers are behind me." And what a blessing that she prays for us, each one of us, regularly. How much a phone call or a visit would mean to her and to Keith. But especially right now for Emily, for basically what she does all day is spend her time in bed, just lying there in the dark, with the shades closed. You know, too many people today work long hours to pay the bills and provide some of the nice extras for their families. But what a difference it would make if they were able to spend a little less time at work and a little more time with the family. We find that people can actually do fine with less things, but are greatly affected when they have less time with parents or a spouse. It's amazing what we can learn from young children. You know, children understand the joy of making gifts. You see the pride on their face as they make a gift for a parent or for a sibling. And then as they present that gift that was made from their own heart, maybe we too should do a little more of that ourselves. Rather than spending money that we may have to be paying off for many months to come. Let us learn to replace material presents with the gift of presence, P-R-E. S-E-N-C-E, presence. Let us learn to give our time, our talents, our love, ourselves to one another. The biblical principle for this is found in the book of Matthew, part of which we read this morning for our scripture reading. Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 34. Again we read, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom, prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "I will tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. What a challenge. Jesus saying to us, what you did not do for the least of these, you did not do for me. It's a challenge. As we look around us, we see more and more individuals who have needs these days. And I believe that if things continue to move in the direction that they have been, we will continue to see more and more individuals who have needs, whether they be financial needs, whether they be emotional needs. Who is going to be there to be the arms of Jesus, to reach out, to embrace them, to reach out, to help them? You know, when we reach out to others, especially the outcasts, the poor, the ignored among us, we experience the presence of God in our lives in a way that we cannot experience in any way else. In Luke chapter 2, verse 10, "An angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherds living out in the fields and proclaimed, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people.'" Now, did you hear that? He said, "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people, not just some people, not just the rich and famous, not just the well-to-do, but the good news of Christmas, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is to be for all people." The coming of Christ was and is good news for all people, not just our family, friends, and neighbors, but everyone. The question we can challenge ourselves with today is, what are we doing to spread that good news with them? You know, before we can fully understand the concept of giving ourselves to others, I believe we must first learn what it means to truly worship fully. What is worship? You know, Unger's Bible Dictionary describes worship as the act of paying divine honors to a deity, religious reverence, and homage. What's homage? Homage, according to Webster's Dictionary, is anything given or done to show the reverence, honor, etc., in which a person is held. So how do we show our worship? How do we show our reverence to our Heavenly Father? First, as we've already mentioned this morning, coming together here and praising and worshiping Him through song, recognizing who He is and giving Him the honor and glory. But there's a second way to worship too. And this is the way that is unfortunately so many times forgotten, but yet reaps such great benefits not only to ourselves but to others. are acts of service done in his name, done to honor him, are also a means of worship. Our acts of service done to others to honor and to glorify God are means of worship. Here's a story that beautifully demonstrates a heart moved to worship. This is a father's account of how his young son began to experience Jesus at Christmas. He says, "My family had been talking about the birth of Christ and what it meant that God gave himself to be with us. I could see my children processing, but I didn't know if it was really connecting. But during an Advent worship service, my son brought his allowance savings. As our sanctuary filled with the voices celebrating the birth of Christ, we went forward to the communion table. Looking down at my son, I saw him put something like $40 into the offering for kids around the world. When I asked him about it later, he said that he wanted to give like God had given to us." That's what true worship is being able to give from within us. Give all that we have that others might be blessed. When we consider who God is and all that God has done, how can our hearts not be moved? Look with me, if you would, to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 1. Beginning in verse 46. I would like to look at Mary's response to the angel's announcement to her. Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 46. It says, "And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One hath done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our father." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. Mary rejoiced in God. Notice Mary's reflections magnify God. She points to him as she worships and confesses his great love and future salvation and deliverance of the oppressed. Let our worship also be an outpouring of our hearts. Let us take Jesus seriously and begin to desire the same things that move his heart. Author Mark Laverton puts it this way. He said, "This disparity between economics and justice is an issue of worship. According to the narrative of Scripture, the very heart of how we show and distinguish true worship from false worship is apparent in how we respond to the poor, the oppressed, the neglected, and the forgotten. As now, I do not see this theme troubling the waters of worship in the American church. But justice and mercy are not add-ons to worship, nor are they the consequences of worship. Justice and mercy are intrinsic to God, and therefore intrinsic to the worship of God. As we prepare to close this morning, I'd like to leave you with this thought. Are we willing to respond to this call? Are we willing to respond to this call to leave our responsibilities and hurry off to see the miracle that God can bring to pass when we truly put Him and His mission first in our lives? We need to pause long enough to look upon the Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This Christmas, I would like to invite you to participate in a special project, but only participate as the Lord leads. Would you be willing to spend a little less on the festivities and presents and join thousands of others around our country who are investing the money they save into spreading the good news of Jesus Christ? On the communion table is a special gift box. It is for a special month-long offering. You know, a few weeks ago, we talked about those around the world who are persecuted and even killed because of their faith. All the monies collected from this special love offering will go to bless our brothers and sisters in Christ who are persecuted for their faith in Jesus Christ. Those who do not have the freedom to celebrate as we do. Let us bow together for prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come together this morning, we do give you thanks for your special gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for his willingness to die upon that cross in Calvary, the Lamb of God, who took away the sins of the world. Father, it is my earnest prayer that if there is one here this morning who has never received the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they've never confessed their sin and confessed to God their willingness to receive the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, that they might do that this morning, that they might not leave here with out experiencing the joy that comes from knowing that our sins are forgiven and that we are part of your eternal family. May they just confess their sin, confess their need to you for a Savior, and receive that free gift. And Father, for each one here who does know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I pray, Father, that you would challenge our hearts concerning this Advent conspiracy. Challenge us to show us how we might be able to slow down, spend less time even on the physical celebrations, and rather concentrate more upon you. And Father, we pray too that you would challenge us, that we might respond, and those monies that we save from spending less, our hearts would be moved to give to those less fortunate around us, particularly at this time, our persecuted brothers and sisters, so many who have suffered unspeakable torture and whose lives are affected every day as they suffer because of their faith for you, but yet they are faithful. Let us be a blessing to them. Let us be willing to share some of what you have blessed us with so that they might receive a ray of hope and encouragement, just as we encourage one another with those acts of love. So, Father, we pray that you would just guide us this Advent season concentrate less upon the gifts and the festivities and more upon time with family, friends, and with you. We ask these things in the precious name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ.